Quasi-Cerebral Talk and Tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour. You are tuned in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. We are the campus community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on unceded stolen territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikutlem First Nations. This episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced on unceded stolen territories of the Ketse, Kwikutlem, and Stolo First Nations. And here at Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of these lands, and we thank them for their stewardship. My name is Leslie. Oh man, how are you? How's it going? Okay. Yeah. Bro, I've been, ungendered, obviously. I've been having a rough week, honestly. A rough day. But we move through it. If there is at least one thing that my parents bestowed upon me, it is not their willingness to please and be polite and to work hard and to discipline themselves. It is the uncanny will to continue to survive. So we move forward on today's program. But oh, I hope you are having a better time than I am having. And one thing that we can look forward to, I guess, the one thing that I'm looking forward to, and perhaps you are also looking forward to, I'm going to make you look forward to it. Okay? Is that today I'm talking about part two of my Yuri manga recommendations on my very long Yuri manga recommendations list. Now, if you listened to last week's episode of Typically Tuesdays, I talked all about girls love manga. Girls love, of course, quick refresher, is this genre of media in which it centers on romantic relationships between women. Now, there are two kind of like subtypes, I guess, of this genre. One of them is shoujo ai, in which the relationships are not as out there, I guess. They're implicit is the word. They're implicit. Meanwhile, Yuri as the genre is the take on girls' love in which the relationship and the romance is overt. There are confirmed gay, queer, lesbianic, sapphic feelings happening in the story. Last week, I discussed a little bit of the history of girls' love as a literary genre, starting from the Class S realm of fiction, and I talked a little bit about queerness as it appears in shoujo manga, particularly beginning in the 60s and the 70s, and how in some ways, because of that history of girls' love portrayed in Japanese comics, in manga, sometimes I think conceptually that Yuri and girls' love is about women falling in love with each other, but it can't always be considered to us LGBTQ plus literature, because not all of the time are the stories really grounded in the maybe lived experiences, issues, and joys that real queer women experience Rather, a lot of these stories are about exploration of personal identity, experiences of loneliness, pain, trauma, friendship, and at the same time, many of these stories on the total other end of the spectrum are meant to kind of provoke and titillate, is I think the terms that I used. Let's continue on with the list of recommendations though this week. Last week I recommended a few titles that center on teen romances because a lot of Yuri manga and a lot of the stuff that I've read as a young person center around teen romances. It's a very commercialized trope. It's a very popularized trope, so it's really easy to find a lot of titles that focus on teen romances. But this week, I am going to be talking about a second genre. A second category. In my brain, it's a second category, and it is romances between young adults. These are stories about people who have graduated high school, essentially. They might be working adults, they might be college students, but they are in that really awkward phase of life where you're not exactly a child anymore, but your brain is still not fully developed. Youth. It's about youth, okay? I'm going to be sharing a few titles off that list today. I'm really excited to as well because I think I've chosen some really good ones that I think that are kind of underrated. And they span the spectrum of wholesome and, oh my god, I'm crying because I'm sad. I hope you are excited. We'll listen to some more music this week as well. As luck would have it, I have more time to share music today. It's in line with the theme that I had last week, I think, which was like music that like maybe can be considered queer. And I think today's musicians are all queer. Lucky for you, and lucky for me, and lucky for the community. Okay, gonna stop talking now. Let's go on with the playlist. Here is an oldie but a goodie. And it may not be sapphic, but the queer joy is there. Fleece. Was upside down.
This is Bird Note. Poison ivy is the bane of many outdoor enthusiasts. The plant's distinctive leaves are made up of three leaflets, and starting in late summer, its branches are full of whitish berries that are toxic to humans. But not to a gray catbird. They'll land on poison ivy and pluck off the berries one after another. Just like its leaves, poison ivy berries are rich in an oil called urushiol that can cause a serious allergic reaction in humans. But catbirds and other bird species just aren't sensitive to urushiol. Poison ivy berries are one of many fruits that help birds survive fall and winter once insects become scarce. Other wild fruits such as pokeberry, holly, and Virginia creeper are poisonous to humans, but not to birds. So the old survival advice to eat the berries that birds eat turns out to be pretty misleading. While you probably want to stay away from poison ivy, you can improve habitats for birds by planting native fruit bushes and advocating for wildlife-friendly gardening in public green spaces. Learn more on our website, birdnote.org. I'm Ariana Rimmel. Support for BirdNote is provided by Jerry Tone and Martha Wyckoff from Seattle, Washington, and generous listeners around the world.
Give the wasted ice under the frizzy vent of tears.
Beautiful, just beautiful. That was When I Closed My Eyes by Cali Sway. Before that, you heard Liquor Run by Ruby Waters off of the album What's the Point? So true, bestie. The point, though, today is Yuri, of course, here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Hey, I'm Leslie. Here is part two of my recommendations for underrated Yuri manga, and this section is about romances between young adults. Just a quick refresher, you know, I'm going to be focusing on Japanese comics, so it's going to be mostly manga. And then this is not a spoiler-free episode. I will be talking about the summary of each title and then going on to discuss why I think it's good, and I will be talking about plot points. Therefore, do not come in expecting to be teased. I will tell you everything about these stories. And basically, I just want you to confirm that they're good when you go on to read them. The other thing as well is that, as before, I'll be giving a special shout-out title in these recommendations. because I can and because I want to. And so I'm going to be giving a special shout out to the not Japanese comic, to the actually Korean webcomic webtoon manhwa called Fluttering Feelings by Samba, and that is spelled S-S-A-M-B-A. This story is about Nore and Sola, who are strangers on their first day of their new college semester, and they keep bumping into each other, but slowly they become trusted classmates and colleagues, then friends, and then best friends, and then finally, maybe there's just something more to their relationship. They begin to slowly fall in love with each other, and the way that the story progresses, it feels like that, like, slow burn trope, I guess, but really what it is that it feels natural. All of the Yuri manga that I'm recommending in this series are romances, but very few have made me genuinely feel that, like, heart pitter-patter in the way that Fluttering Feelings has. And I think the reason why is because of the genuine slowness and pacing that the author tries to write into the story. It never really feels like it's tacked on. It feels thoughtful, and that each moment has a significant reason or meaning behind the way that, you know, that scene makes your heart go pitter-patter, that moment when Nore and Sola realize, oh, maybe there's something a little bit more to our relationship. This webtoon, I think, as I was reading it, when it was, like, being updated in real time, I think it kind of became the webtoon manhwa that popularized the GL genre and was kind of saying, like, look, there can be a really lovely romantic slice of life story that is about two women falling in love with each other. And so I kind of like to think of Fluttering Feelings as the ancestor of a lot of popular GL titles that exist in the web manhwa space now. And I really hold on to those fond memories of reading it and feeling as though I were falling in love because of the way that the romance made me feel in this story and how the story played out. But the one thing that you should know before you go into read Fluttering Feelings is that it is actually unfinished. And it's that way because the author Samba passed away after a years-long battle with cancer. In many ways, I really respect that it has not finished. I don't know that an assistant or, like, a successor to Samba could have ever put together the same type of romantic pacing that they did, and I don't know that anybody else would have been able to tell the story in a way that felt really natural and grounded and thoughtful in the way that Samba did. So just something to note before you go into Fluttering Feelings. But if you really like friends to lovers stories, and also you want to read something slow burn that really does make you feel as though you yourself are falling in love, read Fluttering Feelings by Samba. With that being said, let's go into the real list now. The first story that I will present to you that is actually a manga is called Catch These Hands. It's written by Murata, M-U-R-A-T-A, and it's rated teen on their distributor website. Anytime somebody asks me for, like, a wholesome Yuri manga recommendation, I always recommend this one because I do think it's genuinely, like, pretty all ages friendly. I mean, definitely 14 plus, but pretty friendly in that way. And also, it's a rom-com. We love a rom-com. This is the only rom-com on the list. The story kind of it's just very silly. So ex-delinquent Takebe's old crew has moved on, raising families and working hard to pay off rent. Meanwhile, she's a bit aimless, wants to turn her life around and become a responsible adult, but doesn't even really know where to start. While perusing a clothing shop to buy a suit for job interviews, she discovers that her longtime rival, ex-delinquent Sodomori, works there as a clerk. Their encounter shakes up Sodomori, who can never let go of their old relationship. Well, more accurately, she can never let go of her one-sided crush on Takebe. The two promise each other a showdown, with one condition. If Sodomori bests Takebe, which she's always done in the past, they'll have to start dating. This one is so cute because it's basically like that concept of idiot one is in love with idiot two, and that's where the hijinks kind of ensue. It's, in my opinion, equal parts funny and cute. I mean, first, when you look at the illustrations, it's very, very cute. Murata's character design and their style is very, like, cute comedy adjacent manga, and so, like, all of their characters have these, like, adorable giant round faces with these, like, gigantic round eyes and tiny little button noses, and they have, like, great expressions. It's very, very adorable to look at, but the story itself is just so charming. Takebe, like, really does not understand this whole, like, relationship stuff. She's never been in a relationship before, probably has never wanted to be in a relationship before, but Sodomori is so in love with her. And the funniest part, I think, about all of it is that Sodomori is genuinely a better fighter than Takebe. Takebe has no choice but to give into Sodomori's, like, advances. And Sodomori is very respectful of those of Takebe's boundaries, but Takebe doesn't like to lose. She feels very much like, okay, if I lost, then I'm gonna have to go all in on this girlfriend thing, and she struggles with it so hard. As the story progresses, you see a lot of growth actually in Takebe's character, where she begins to realize that she can actually